Welcome to this breaking news audio edition of the MMA After Hour. I am Ariel Helwani of MMAfighting.com, and today we are talking to, without a doubt, the most talked about fighter in mixed martial arts today, the UFC light heavyweight champion, John Bones Jones. John, thank you so much for taking the time out today.
Ariel, no problem, man.
It has been an interesting week for you. I think that's safe to say. Actually, exactly a week ago, right about now, the UFC held a press conference, or a conference call, I should say, where UFC President Dana White said a lot of things about you. He said a lot about your coach, Greg Jackson, after you turned down a fight against Chael Sonnen to, quote-unquote, save UFC 151. Now that we are a week removed from all that madness, do you regret your decision to not fight Chael Sonnen?
No, I don't regret my decision at all. I actually think it was a really smart, personal career decision. I think now it's probably better time to talk about it now that some people's emotions are a little bit out of the way, and people can use their logic and thinking skills here really to set the situation and what really happened.
So what exactly did happen? At the end of the day, once you got this phone call and this offer and you were told that Dan Henderson wouldn't be able to fight you, why did you ultimately feel like it was the wrong choice to fight Chael Sonnen on 8 days' notice?
Well, the main reason, there's a few main reasons why I decided not to fight Chael Sonnen. And the reasons are, first reason is I talked to my coaches about it right away. And I got my boxing coach together with my Muay Thai coach. I brought my wrestling coach, and I brought my jiu-jitsu coach, and who was also Greg Jackson, my head strategist, jiu-jitsu coach. So here I am. I'm with a staff of coaches who knows my game in and out. They know my weaknesses. They know my strengths. They know what I've prepared my muscles to, how I prepare my muscles to react. And each coach said to me right away, no doubt we can win this fight. They honestly believe that I could win the fight. They also said, I want you to be aware of the fact that you prepared for a complete opposite style. So Dan Henderson is a fighter that uses his overhand right. He uses his straight right, his right uppercut. He crouches over to his right a little bit. He shoots. He has this certain type of punch game that he does. He's a good scrambler. He doesn't really pressure into you. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all the details about the fight because it probably sounds taboo to people who don't really understand fighting deeply. But anyway, to sum it up, Chael Sonnen is he's a southpaw. He has a completely different pressure, different takedown, his head's on the opposite side, his ground and pound's different, he's susceptible to different submissions. He's just a completely different warrior, that was the main factor and the reason why I didn't want to take the fight in last minute notice. I think people don't realize that just because you're a UFC fighter doesn't mean you walk around every day taking fights and, thinking that you're the toughest man on the planet. I think it would have been extremely arrogant on my part to take the fight, to assume that I could beat one of the top 10 fighters on the planet without preparing for him whatsoever. That would be extremely ignorant. And then there's the case on other people's behalf with the people that would say, well, he didn't train whatsoever for the fight. So, he's brave enough to fight you. Why aren't you brave enough to fight him? And my answer to that argument is there's guys on the street right now that would let take a fight against me just to see how they would do, let alone talk about one of the top fighters in the world looking to fight me, especially one of the top fighters in the world that has absolutely nothing to lose. I don't think people realize that Chael's record in the UFC is 5-6. 5-6. And he lost his last two fights. So why would I put a world championship on the line against a very dangerous opponent? But for a person that hasn't even remotely earn the right to consider himself in the position to fight for a world title. That's like hitting a jackpot, and I just refuse to be anyone's jackpot. I also make it very clear to all my followers and all the UFC fans, you know, that the reason why I'm so good at fighting is not because I'm this freak athlete with the two brothers in the NFL and I'm just that great at fighting. It's that the reason my secret success is being so prepared. You know, if you follow my Twitter at all, the only thing I tweet about is training. I tweet about how I just finished watching film again and how we just got done studying again. You know, I'm really trying to share with young fighters the importance of being prepared and training your butt off. You know, I train 5 times a day, and I really doubt that other light heavyweights train 5 times a day. And I study every night. So why, if I've made it so well documented that I study, like, to the point where I'm obsessed, I actually use that word in tons of interviews, that I'm obsessed with my opponent. So if I've elaborated that much on how big I am on preparation, why would I go against everything that I stand for and take a last-minute fight? That makes zero sense for me and my coaching staff, my management team.
So at the end of the day, this had nothing to do with Chael. It could have been Machida, Shogun, anyone else. It was about the timing and not having enough time to prepare for a new opponent. You would have said no, correct me if I'm wrong here, to anyone not named Dan Henderson, right?
The only person that I would have fought in would have been Rashad Evans, because his style is so similar to Dan Henderson. Rashad Evans is a guy who wrestles very well. He scrambles very well in certain positions. He has a huge overhand right. His left hand isn't really that big of a threat, but it's there. Rashad Evans, stylistically, was the only fight that was similar enough to the skill set we had trained ourselves to be able to perform. It would have been the only match similar enough that we probably would have defeated him with the same moves that we had drilled. You know, fighting is a lot about improv, but it's a lot about repetition. The reactions to certain counters, you know. So Rashad Evans probably would have been the only reasonable matchup. But, you know, anyone else outside of Chael Sonnen, I would have said no. I would have said no. I mean, you can't make crazy decisions like that based on your emotions. I mean, Chael Sonnen offending me and talking about my parents and things like that, yeah, that's terrible, right? That pisses me off. But I can't just put a multi-million-dollar career and a legacy I'm closing in on Tito Ortiz's all-time great record. I can't put all of that on the line because someone talked about my mama. I gotta freaking think smart here. I gotta think like a warrior, like a strategist, and I gotta think like as a businessman. 2012, there's enough athletes out there that's just broke. You know, I don't want to be one of those fighters that are fighting and, you know, 38 and 45 years old fighting because they're old school and that's what's cool to do. I think it's cool to win your fights decisively. It's also cool to take care of yourself and your family and your company and your business. So, and then another thing is I clearly said that I would not allow Chael Sonnen to jump the line by using his mouth. And what was he doing? Jumping the line by using his mouth. It's like, why would I contradict myself when I clearly just said, I feel Chael Sonnen is a racist. The way he treats Brazilians is just totally uncalled for. I have zero respect for him. You know, like, my fight coming up, I'm honored to fight Vitor Belfort. Vitor's a Christian like I am. He's an honorable man. He's a good, classy, clean-cut dude. This is an honor to fight against Vitor Belfort. Fighting Chael Sonnen, he's a punk. He's a thug. He calls himself the American gangster, and he freaking ratted on all of his friends in that money laundering situation, and he calls himself gangster. That's not gangster. The guy's a straight punk that uses his mouth. He won't be remembered in history because he loses. People who are remembered in history are winners, not people with big mouths. There won't be quotes by him when he's older. It'll just be silliness. Like, when I beat Vitor, all of this is just going to go away because Chael's words really hold no substance. It's just entertaining to the people who like to see him troll people, which is cool, but it just holds no weight. But anyway, to get back to my point, I clearly said, like, a week earlier, before this all happened, that I wouldn't allow Chael to jump the line. And what does he do? He tries to jump the line. Why would I accept the fight against someone that doesn't even deserve to get beat up by me?
At any point in your discussion with the UFC, did they say, if you don't accept this fight, we will cancel an event for the first time ever? Did they try to convince you at
that never came out? No, that is not true. That is not true. When I was talking to Dana Lorenzo on the phone about the whole situation, they mentioned that they had no clue what they're going to do about the situation, and I apologized 1,000 times. And I told them how much I respect them and how much my job means to them. And I basically said, you know, if you guys respect me, please understand what type of athlete I am, and that, you know, I really love coming through for you guys. You know, I fought 4 times in 10 months. I did every media tour I had to do. I did. At times, I didn't know if I was going to win this fight because I was doing so much media for the UFC. I do tons of things that I don't get paid for and things like that just to do it, just to try to be a company guy. I had a lot of pride, and I still do have a lot of pride in trying to be a company guy for the UFC. But putting my livelihood on the line, you can't ask me to do that. You just can't ask me to do that. I have way too much to lose. And they should have understood that. They could have kept the card going. But instead, they made the executive decision to cancel the fight, you know, and blamed it all on me. If I knew I had power to cancel fights, I'd probably be... That's just, you know, it was not my fault that was the type of car that they designed. But whatever, man, whatever, you know. The UFC prides themselves on, we pride ourselves on having full cards stacked, unlike boxing. Boxing has absolutely nobodies, and then they'll have the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight at the end. Right? UFC is known for having beautiful fight cards from top to bottom, even the undercard. Why wasn't that the case? In my opinion, I thought it was the case. My teammates was on that card. All martial arts is beautiful to me. I would have never canceled a martial arts fight. I'm getting ready to go watch some of my teammates fight at like a little local. I watch local fights all the time. I love MMA on all levels. So even all the other fighters that are pissed at me, don't be pissed at me. I'm not the one who basically said you weren't good enough to pay-per-view. That wasn't my decision. I had to protect me, myself. But I'm the CEO of John Bones Jones brand, not other fighters and not the UFC's brand.
John, did you listen to the conference call either live or after the fact? It's been posted online, many different websites. Did you have a chance to listen to it?
I to be honest with you, I only check my Twitter. I check my Twitter, and I got lots of people sending me lots of hate mail, but it's flowing down really fast. It's flowing down really fast. And I got a lot of supporters, man. But I don't really read these different articles and stuff like that and the blogs and stuff. I just read my Twitter. That's about it.
During the conference call, and they even sent out a press release after saying that UFC 151 will be remembered as the event John Jones and Greg Jackson murdered. And as you mentioned, he said stuff about, you know, you and your money and things like that. I mean, he said a lot. The only time I ever remember Dana being this upset was after UFC 112, Anderson Silva's strange fight against Damian Maia. And one could say he was even more upset because of having to cancel the card and whatnot. What are you thinking when you at least read or hear about some of these things? Like, this is your boss. You've had a very good relationship. At least we've thought so in the public eye. And, you know, they promoted you. They even, you know, sponsored you and whatnot. What are you thinking when you have a conversation, you tell him your opinion and your decision, and then he goes off and talks to the media and says some pretty strong things? Did you feel betrayed? Did you feel insulted? What was going through your mind?
I just really felt hurt by Dana because, you know, yes, I did get a DWI. Outside of that situation, I've tried my best, my absolute best to be a person who's extremely nice to all the fans, whether they're my fans or not. I try my best to always tweet positivity and I just always try to be, you know, just like a good dude, a good representative of the UFC. I tried, you know, the campaigns for getting MMA legalized in New York State. I do everything they ask me to do. I really do. And, you know, it really hurt, man. It hurt to be on that different spectrum, to be compared to Tito Ortiz. I don't complain about money. I don't complain about anything. You know, I do what I'm told. I'm the guy who fight. I'm the champion that fights way more than any other champion. You know, it's like, so you go from me and you being really close. I mean, at the last press conference, right after the shot, he was like, don't you just love this guy? You know, talking to me. And now I'm I'm just hated because I did what was right for me and my future. You know, if I would have lost that fight, I would have simply not been the champ anymore. I mean, he wouldn't have lost sleep up over that. You know, I can't pick rational decisions to make him happy. You know, and I feel sorry that all the people lost that money and stuff. I really do. I mean, tons of my friends and family. I was the main event. You know, tons of my friends and family lost money on it. I feel terrible about that. I just thought I meant a lot more to him. You know, I really did. And I thought, I didn't really look at him as like a boss or anything. I just looked at him as like a friend, a business partner. And I just thought I meant a lot to the UFC. And they made me feel like a piece of meat, like a total piece of meat. As if you totally, I just felt like a piece of meat, man. He just completely bashed me out and my coach. You know, it was just terrible, man. It was terrible. It's just good to see where I stand with him. You know, there's no need to have any type of fake relationship in the future. You know, I'm going to continue to do my best for the UFC, but it's definitely good to see what I really mean to him.
Have you talked to him since?
No, I haven't talked to him since at all. We haven't spoken at all.
Would you like to talk to him before getting to Toronto? Would you like to try to clear the air?
You know, I'm gonna hold off before talking to him. You know, I'll let him calm down. I understand that he probably lost out on $1 million or so, maybe even more than $1 million in advertising and things. So I'm sure he's really upset. He has his reasons to be upset. I think he needs to realize that I really have my reasons to be upset too. And when we talk, we'll talk, and I'm sure we'll squash it. But yeah, man, I just thought he'd be way more understanding. You know, it's really easy for somebody to just, who's never really gotten in a cage fight, to just. You think I'm scared? I'm a 25-year-old defending world champion. You really think I'm scared? It's not about being scared. It's about being smart.
And then what about on the flip side? What was, I thought, most surprising about the situation was a lot of your fellow fighters didn't stick up for you. A lot of them went to Twitter and, you know, were saying they would fight. Did that surprise you?
You know what? It didn't surprise me. You know, my job is not to be popular amongst fighters. The fighters don't pay my paycheck. The fighters aren't buying John Bones Jones T-shirts. You know, that's not my job, is to take care of the fighters. I could really care less if any fighter in the UFC likes me or not. My job is to go there, show up once or twice, three times a year, and do my job and go back home. You know, as long as Team Jackson's fighters respect me, which they all do, and I love them to death, then that's all that really matters. You know, obviously I do have friendships amongst a lot of the UFC fighters, but for the ones that are talking trash about me, they really don't matter. They have nothing to do with my life or my career.
When you look at some of the criticism, John,
to elaborate that a little more, they really should look at what happened. You know, John Jones is not a UFC executive. I had zero power in canceling a fight. So if they're too afraid to tell Dana that they're upset with them, that's on them. So, you know, blame it on me if they want. Be a man and really talk to the guy who made that decision.
You know, when you look at the situation and then the aftermath of the situation, did you ever have a point where you sat back and you were like, wait a second, Dan Henderson got injured 3 weeks ago and only told the UFC a few days before they made this announcement. Of course, it was Lyoto Machida turning down a fight, a bunch of other fighters before Chael Sonnen turned down the fight. Apparently, Shogun Hua, according to one report, turned down a fight. Did you feel as though, okay, maybe you can sit there, you can criticize me for the decision not to fight Chael, whatever, but all these people who are coming out and blaming the entire thing on me, like, do you ever have a moment where it's like, what is going on in this world? Like, how did this whole entire MMA community turn on me for something that you clearly don't think is your fault? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I felt as if, first of all, I think it's funny how Chael Sonnen became a hero out of this thing, because at the end of the day, he had nothing to do with the fight. It's like, I almost felt as if I signed a package deal to fight Dan Henderson or Chael Sonnen, and I like turned down both of them type of thing. It's like, Chael had nothing to do with this, and he just talked his way into the limelight somehow, you know, when he really had nothing to do with the fight at all. This fight, I signed a contract to fight Dan Henderson, not Dan Henderson and his best friend, you know? So, and then Dan Henderson is even talking trash about me not taking the fight against Chael. So that's not the contract I signed. This is a business here. This is my job. I didn't, you know, that's like you, you signing with, whoever, you know, whatever company, your main company that you work for. And then they ask you to go and do some weather. It's like, dude, I'm not going to do weather. That's not my job. If I knew I was doing weather, I would have got my weather equipment ready and all that. You know what I mean? So, I just think it's funny that, you know, at the end of the day, Dan Henderson got hurt. That's what happened. I was ready, you know, 2 weeks ago. Everything was going perfect. My camp was going good. I was cutting weight. People were so excited to see the fight. And then now, I'm the bad guy. What did I do wrong, really? I didn't get hurt. I didn't cancel the fight. And then, what, you know, and then Lyoto Machida goes out and he says, I'm not going to fight John in 3 weeks' notice. And no one gives Lyoto crap. There's not one interview or article out there or anything about Lyoto not taking the fight. Lyoto said, I got 3 weeks to train for John Jones. That's not enough time. And I get crap for not taking the fight in 3 days? Really? You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. There's all types of stuff. There's all types of stuff going on. But at the end of the day, all I got to do is beat Vitor Belfort. And that's it. That's it. It's just like it never happened.
And I want
in my opinion, obviously the people that lost money on their shows and stuff will always be upset. People who bought the plane tickets will always be upset, and I got to deal with that with people in my own town. But what were you going to say?
I want to just clear something up because there was a report today via Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer where he stated that you asked Dana prior to all of this to tell Chael to stop talking trash about you because for whatever reason it was bothering you. Did you ever make that phone call?
Like I said clearly to you guys, to you earlier, I have not spoken to Dana since he told me Dan Henderson was hurt.
Well, I'm talking actually before. He's saying this before. This is before all this happened. Like, you remember when Chael was talking on UFC Tonight and all that? This is when you still thought you were fighting Dan Henderson. This report stated that you felt uncomfortable and you called Dana. And
that is totally not true.
Okay.
That's totally not true. And whoever this Dave guy is who has this wrestling website or whatnot, I mean, can he even make articles like that? That's not true. Like, can you just make a rumor article like that? It's like, that's just so not true. Think about all the stuff I've gone through. DUI situation, Rashad Evans fight, Rampage Jackson. I've dealt with so much controversy in my short career. I'm getting used to it. And really, it doesn't even really bother me anymore. It's just what it is. So why would I lean on Dana and ask him to make somebody stop talking about me? I've heard every insult in the book. I'm starting to become immune to people's opinion about me. And that's really the key to a lot of pro athlete success is that they don't even do social media and stuff like that. And I'm really contemplating just turning off my relationship from people altogether and just focusing on what really matters, immediate friends, family, and being the most dominant champion I could be, you know. But anyways, to get back to what you're saying, that's not true.
Okay.
Really, me call Dana and ask for help with Chael Sonnen. I've gone through so much worse than Chael Sonnen.
Right.
He's really not there. And at the end of the day, like I said with Chael, he won't be remembered in history. He just won't. When they talk about all-time greats, he won't be remembered in history. Even when they talk about best tip stare downs, Rampage will be. When they talk about some of the funny fighters, Rampage, you know, Chael just won't be remembered in history. He won't. He'll be the guy. Actually, he will be. He'll always be known as the guy who lost to Anderson Silva and looked good doing it. That's it. So, you know, let him talk, man. He's getting his Twitter followers up. He's keeping himself in the limelight, and that's all he's doing. He's not winning any championships. I doubt that he ever will. Every time he gets the opportunity, he comes up short. And so he's irrelevant. His mouth is the only gift he has.
And you mentioned, John, you mentioned social media. What has that been like? As you say, that's the only sort of outlet that you use to interact with people and really to get the pulse of the community. I would imagine, even, you know, we searched through your mentions. I mean, it wasn't very kind, the
right.
feedback that you were getting.
Right.
What's it like sitting there and reading people just going off and calling you every single name in the book?
Some of it's funny. Some of it's actually really funny because people come up with really clever jokes. But I don't think people realize that the topic of the joke, like one week it's DUI, or the next week it's oh, you're a chicken, or the next week it's like, you the 101, 151 killer. But people don't realize that it's always the same topic, just worded differently. So the power of the insult is kind of taken away after like the first 10 minutes of like any type of new information that comes out. But one thing I do realize is that, you know, I have a great support base, and then I have a great hate base. But people who hate me, they actually don't realize that they're showing me how much they actually care. They care a ton. They know so much about me. Actually, my haters know more about me than my real fans do. And it's really flattering almost. So, I can't really... You know, it's like tough skin training, too. You know, it's like I listen to it and it's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. But I'll probably stop eventually. You know, all my teammates, especially my older ones, they're like, dude, we don't check our Twitter at all. We just tweet and don't even read people's responses. But you're listening to like 12-year-old boys and stuff who are sitting at home talking trash, and you're out there, a world champion, putting yourself on the line, putting your life, like putting your health on the line. You know, you're out there living out there, and so people can't really let them get you down, you know. So I'll probably just stop with social media eventually and just kind of disappear in between fights like GSP do and all those guys.
And what about your overall sort of approach now to your career? Because when you started, you know, it was like John Jones can do no wrong. He's taking down muggers hours before his title fight, and you know, he's clean cut, and he says all the right things. And now people are saying, well, why doesn't he run with this persona? Be the bad guy, be like Josh Koscheck. You know, how are you going to feel comfortable with yourself? And there are clearly people that don't like you, and that happens in every walk of life. And there are clearly people who always look for a reason not to like you. How are you going to deal with this? Are you going to try to win them over? Are you going to be a new John Jones
really.
And say, like, have you thought about that? Your quote unquote new persona?
So one of the biggest ways that I think about it and I look at it is a lot of the great athletes and their sports were hated. You got to be hated, man. You got to be. And that's the only way you know that you're really doing things right. I mean, LeBron James, people hate him. But the dude is still paid and he's still a champion. And he's still, you know, he's still happy. He still has his family. And I'm really just here to take care of my family. That's what's first and foremost. People who hate me, they don't realize that they're my biggest advertisers. All the people who write me hate mail, all their followers read the hate mail. They're like, oh, who's this? And then they start following and stuff. So it's just like, it just comes with the territory. It comes with the job. And you know, as long as I keep it in perspective and not really think about it personal, you know, I'll always be okay with it. You got to realize that, you know, most of these people have never met me in person before. So in person, you know, everyone meets in person. We have pictures and we laugh and we talk. And I hear all the time, man, you're nothing like I would expect a pro athlete to be, man. You're so cool. You're so down to earth. And I got so many. So it's just like, man, people who hate me, they just never met me in person. And they basically they have all these interviews that they can read online every day and all this stuff that they check up on every day. And they don't realize that they're really supporting me, whether they're talking negatively or not. So I'm not going to try to win anybody over. I just really just focus on all the people that really support me and love me and understand my message. You know, I get tons of compliments every day on just being the strong person that I am and being, you know, a person that, you know, people are learning little life lessons from and being inspired by and stuff like that. And that's really what it's about, man. It's about changing lives. You know, like I've said before, if I can inspire one person, just one person, to do better, to live better, to live happier, to be more confident, to attack a goal, to believe, maybe find Christ, whatever it may be that I did that made them do something better, that changed their family's generations or changed the way they looked at things, I did my job. It's just one person. And right now I'm positive that I've impacted more than one person in a positive way. So, you know, so if it comes with an army of haters, I'm all good, because I know the army of haters are going to watch the fight anyways, most of them. So things are good. The John Bones Jones train is rolling.
And people didn't like that you used the term carrying the cross when you first came out on Twitter on Saturday. They thought you were comparing yourself to Jesus, again, looking for something to criticize you. do you regret using that terminology?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't, and I wasn't comparing myself to Jesus. I'll be the first to say that there's only one Jesus Christ, and he's the Almighty, and, you know, he's the reason why I'm able to talk to you right now. He's the reason why you're able to talk to me right now. He's blessed us so much, and I would never try to compare myself to Jesus. It was an analogy, nothing more, nothing less.
And, John, how about your new sponsor, Nike? Obviously, a lot has been made of that relationship. What have they said to you throughout all this? Have they stood by you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they don't really care about this stuff that's going on. You know, it's like it's really not that serious. It's like it's way more important things that's going on in the sports world, and you know, it's not like the situation is not that crazy controversial. It was just a big inconvenient thing for our sport, you know. To have an event canceled, but they stick behind me 100%. It's not really that big of a deal to them.
Some of the talk coming out of this has been that it's time for UFC fighters, MMA fighters in general, to unionize, have a union. Obviously, your brothers play in the NFL, both of them, and you know, there's a players' association there, and they think that things would be a little different, and things like this wouldn't happen. You wouldn't be put in these positions, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on that?
You know, man. You know, I don't really have a comment on that right now.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted to ask you one other thing about Twitter. On Wednesday night, did you tweet something to Rashad about training with Vitor and whatnot, and then did you decide to take it down?
Yeah. You know, I don't know what got into me. I think I was bored. I was after practice, and I was just bored. So, yeah, I tweeted him. I said something along the lines of, whether him and Vitor were becoming brothers like we were supposedly, or is Rashad going to move down to heavy middleweight? And basically what I meant by that was like, dude, Rashad's a clever dude. He's a sneaky dude, man. All the training sessions we had, bro, I thought it was real, you know, and push come to shove, he was paying attention and taking notes the whole time. So it's just like, dude, why are you training Vitor Belfort when he's fighting for exactly what you want? You know, are you going to move the middleweight? And, you know, and let him pursue a light heavyweight title, or are you going to train with him and then turn around and challenge him? I was just legitimately curious of what his psychology is behind giving up on wanting to be a UFC light heavyweight world champion.
I think everyone's jaws dropped when they announced that Vitor Belfort was fighting you, not Lyoto Machida. What was your reaction when all that happened? Like, did you see this coming?
When I saw that I was fighting Vitor Belfort, I thought it would be great. You know, Vitor Belfort is a great opponent and an honorable, respectful dude, man, and also a former UFC light heavyweight champion. So, I was really honored by it, man. I think it's a better fight than fighting Dan Henderson. You know, Dan Henderson is, with all due respect, he's just an older guy. You know, he's an older guy, and I said before, I thought he was a little bit of a one-trick pony. Vito Belfort, man, he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He has great boxing. He has power in both hands. Very technical boxing. He's a much harder fight. So for all the people who really want to see me lose, I mean, they should be excited about me fighting Vito, because Vito, I believe, has a better chance than Dan Henderson did. So I'm excited. I'm here for the challenge. You know, I'm definitely here to fight the best guys in the world, and he's one of them.
Do you think he deserves a shot at the title?
No, I don't think he necessarily deserves one, but I'm honored to fight him. I think he's a great guy, and he's a hardworking guy, and you know, he definitely beat Anthony Johnson in his last fight, and Anthony weighed a lot more than him, and he showed heart and everything and took the fight anyway. So, you know, I respect Vitor a lot, and I'm honored to fight him. I think he's definitely a worthy opponent.
Are you disappointed they didn't book the Chael fight?
No, I'm not disappointed. You know, Chael will get his time when his time comes. And I tell you what, I'm going to beat that man silly. I really will. I really will.
Do you feel as though Chael has, you know, he put out the thing about the pizza and all that. I mean, do you think he's crossed the line with any of the stuff that he said about you?
No, I don't think he's crossed the line with anything he said about me. The only thing that I really didn't appreciate was he mentioned to my parents with the old creativity of creating my name John Jones. Mm. And my real name isn't John Jones. I have, you know, a full name. And, you know, my mom is very sick. You know, she has some pretty extreme health conditions where she's come close to not being here several times. So for anyone to speak out of their mouth about my parents, that is a little too far. It's a little too far. You know, let's keep this. If you want to promote a fight or whatnot, if you're trying to get famous, go ahead and do that. But, you know, no one should disrespect people's parents, Anderson Silva's wife, you know, country, Brazil in a whole. You know, the guy has no class, no respect. But that's what people like, man. People call me cocky and stuff, but if they like Chael, you know, that just goes to show that I shouldn't take too many people's words too seriously.
Just want to touch on three last things, and then we'll let you go, and we really appreciate the time. In the conference call, Dana White said that if you would have turned down a fight against Machida, he insinuated that he would have cut you. Is that even a reality in your world? I mean, given all that's happened, does a part of you not feel like being a part of the UFC? Do you think that they would really do something like that? I mean, that's a pretty big statement to make about top three, top two best fighters in the world.
Yeah, you know, I heard Dana's press conference, and he never flat out said he would cut me. And he said, "Oh, Ariel, don't go asking dumb questions," but he never flat out said he would cut me. So I'll just leave it at that.
So they've never said that to you, that if you would turn this down or that down, they'd cut you?
No way. Okay. No way. He didn't say that to me. No way.
John, you look back at this entire situation, even going back before this was canceled, and then, is there anything that you wish you could have done over, or are you happy with the way everything has played out for you?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. You know, outside of my, my outside the octagon UFC career, decision, you know, when I got that DUI a while ago, and that's the only thing that I really regret, you know, doing. But at the same time, you know, I'm really grateful that it happened to me because, you know, it was a major wake-up call for me to just mature even more and do things better in the future and not make dumb decisions like that when I'm under the influence. So, you know, outside of that situation, everything else, man, is going smooth, man. You know, but like at the end of the day, like I said, man, some things will stick, some things will last, some things just won't. You know, truth will always last. Truth lives forever. And the truth about the UFC 51 situation, you know, the people will really use their minds and not just let people paint whatever picture they want, paint it. You know, people that use their own logic, they'll know that I did the right thing in the long run. So I really can't. I really have no regrets outside of my outside bad decision that I had made at one time, and outside of that, we're doing good, man.
And just finally, how do you think it's going to be in Toronto? Fight week, you'll be around Dana, you'll be around the fans, the reporters. Is this something that you're dreading? Are you looking forward to it? Do you think it will be awkward?
No, it's not going to be awkward. It might be a little bit awkward, you know, when me and Dana talk, but outside of that, I'm excited, man. You know, I got tons of people from New York that's going to be coming to the fight. You know, a lot of people in my hometown couldn't afford to fly. And like I said, I am sorry again to all the fans that missed out, you know, on getting rebates on their flights and stuff. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people from New York will be able to make it to the fight. Canada should be cool. I love fighting in Canada. And see, everything happens for a reason. So we keep moving forward, man.
John, I want to thank you for the time. Thank you very much. It's been an honor getting so much time with you. Good luck. UFC 152 goes down September 22nd, Air Canada Center in Toronto. John Bones Jones versus Vitor Belfort for the UFC light heavyweight title. Best of luck to you, John.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ariel. You're good, my friend.
And one final note before we go. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, September the 4th, be sure to tune into a very special edition of UFC Tonight on Fuel TV. This evening, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, I go one-on-one with UFC President Dana White to talk about everything surrounding the cancellation of UFC 151, and he even responds to some of the comments John Jones made on this very podcast. I assure you, you do not want to miss it. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the MMA After Hour.